Today's topic, drum roll, tithing. Yes, that stimulating, said tongue in cheek, and seldom spoken on subject, tithing. Tithing is a topic that many of us probably think we know well. However, I'm not so sure we do. I know personally, I thought I did until a few years ago when I started looking into it. What I found out is I wasn't tithing right. I didn't really fully understand what it was. And from conversations I've had with various people in here, I don't think I was by myself. Are you tithing correctly? That's a decision for you personally to make and determine. But what I can do is share with you some of the things that I have learned as I have done some research on this topic over the past years, research I've done for other people, things I've learned from talking to people over the probably last 2 to 3 years that some of this has been compiled together, and things I've downloaded and got from other people. So here's our sermon today. No. Just kidding. What I have, well, before I get in there, I'll make a disclaimer. I'm not doing this from the standpoint of that I know this better than anyone else in here or everyone else in here, that I'm tithing good, you're not, or anything like that. And if there's any points in here that came, that you see as came in from any discussions with you, they may have, but almost everything in this points in the message I have that came from somebody came from multiple people, because most of these things I got from 2 or 3 times. So I very well may have gotten the point or the question from you, but it came from other people too. First thing, this is tithing is not just a financial requirement from God, or the way I look at it anyway, it is not just a financial requirement from God. Tithing is a requirement. I'll get to that in just a minute. Why I say it's not, but tithing is a needed thing for the church. Without us tithing, the church cannot function. The church needs money, and I'm not saying this because our funds are real, real low or anything like that. If I was doing that, I'd have probably done it 6 months or something like that ago. I'm not doing it because of that. The church has to pay for the building to meet in, has to pay for the chairs, the utilities, the piano, outreach, various things. And the only way to pay for that, they take money. It's plain and simple. So that is one of the main reasons we tithe, which I'll get into a little bit. There are other reasons for other tithing too. But also, at least from my perspective, I bet most of you will agree, tithing is also a test commandment or a test requirement. The two big ones that come to mind for me are the Sabbath and tithing. The Sabbath is a test commandment from the standpoint that it is testing, are we willing to give of our time back to God? Or are we just keeping the Sabbath, or if someone hears this and they keep the Sunday, are we just keeping it because God told us to? We don't really want to do it, but we're going to do it because He did. The tithing is the same thing, but for our money. Are we willing to give back of our money? And I say give back instead of up, because ultimately we get everything we've got from God, from blessings of God. But are we willing to do this in a willing manner? Or are we doing it because, well, He tells me to, so I have to, but I don't really want to? Which way are you doing it depends on whether you fail or pass that test. Okay. Now, there is also not just one tithe. This is where we get to some, from people I've talked to, not just in here, but we get into one of the areas that there has been a lot of confusion. I know when I came into church, that's part of where I wasn't tithing correctly, but when I came into the church, I thought there was one tithe. Actually, I thought there was one tithe before I came into the church. I wasn't so sure about it when I actually came into the church. Because when I came into the church, it's, you know, it was, we don't collect a tithe. We don't pass the hat. We don't collect it. You've heard it from people. You've heard it. And we still hear it on various holy days. They take up an offering, but we don't pass the hat weekly or any of that. So, me, mistakenly anyway, I'm going to guess I'm not the only one. I don't know. Maybe I am. It was kind of like, okay, we don't have to tithe. That's been done away with, or at least within this church. I didn't tithe. I'll admit that. When I first came into church, I didn't tithe. It's changed. I've learned different. Okay, so part of it was just a misunderstanding. And I don't know, I guess maybe the leaders of the churches can take that as something that, hey, when we explain we don't tithe, maybe we need to explain it just a tad bit further that, yes, we still do, people still do have to tithe. The church just doesn't pass the hat, so to speak. We've got the box in the back there for this church that you can put your tithe in. But there's not just one. There's three tithes. Now, what do you mean I have to give three tithes? I have to give up 30% of my money? No, that's not what I mean. But we'll see. I'll cover each one individually. I'm going to cover them first tithe, second tithe, and then third tithe. First tithe is 10% of our money to the church. This is the one everyone's pretty much familiar with. People are familiar with it. I'm not going to scriptures. I'm going to have enough material here, take enough time. I'm not going there. If we want more later, I can make copies of some of the stuff I've got here and give it to anybody that wants it. But this is, we are to do a tithe, 10% of our money, to the church. And it is, from everything I understand, it is to the church. It's not that we are supposed to give 10% of our income to some charity. That's one of the things I've got a few places. You know, it's not that. It's not 50, 5% and 5%, 8% and 2%, 9% and 1%. It's 10% to the church. Now, I had a question last week, which is actually a good question. Somebody mentioned, well, what if I give to multiple churches? Now, this is my response. This is not, I can't go to some biblical spot or anything. It's what my understanding is. And how I kind of answer that question is, if you attend a church regularly, you tithe to that church. Now, there are people that don't really attend any church regularly. I personally wouldn't see a problem with a person like that doesn't attend a church regularly splitting that 10% up. I could be wrong. I will classify that as that's how I see it and understand it. And you guys, if anyone has that question also, that's how I answer it. But I would add that to do your research so that you feel that you know the right, correct answer in your mind. If you're doing what you feel is correct, you're good. This also doesn't include the holy days. We take up an offering at the holy days three times a year. Actually, you know, not everyone three times a year. This 10% does not include those offerings. They come later, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But it doesn't include that. It doesn't include travel. It doesn't include feasts that we have to spend money for. It's 10% to the church. The other thing on the first tithe is net or gross. And that's totally up to you personally. You know, if you tithe on the net, you tithe on your retirement when you start drawing income. Plain and simple. You didn't tithe if you tithe on your net. The money you have put away, whether it's Social Security, 401k, or own just investments, you didn't tithe on any of that money. You stuck it away before you paid your tithe. So you have to pay tithes and all that on as you use that money. If you tithe on your gross, you don't have to tithe on Social Security, from my understanding, and the way I'd see it, because you paid your tithes on it already. If you, for now, like a 401k or something like that, is a little different. The way I would say is you have tithed on what you put into it. You haven't tithed on the gains. what it's gained over the years. How I would answer that is, you tithe on what would be considered taxable income. If you tithe on that part, then you're doing good. The second tithe is also known as the festival tithe. This is also, as it says in the name, the 10% of your income. It is not 10% of your income to the church. You don't give any of this to the church unless you just want to. This is 10% that you put away in a fund specifically for the feast days. David touched on this a little bit. I believe it was the last time, and it was one of the last times he talked about when we after came back from the feast. And, you know, if you put your money away, if you do as you're instructed to do, you will have, most people anyway, will have plenty of money for the feast. There are people that, especially in this economy, that aren't making a whole lot at all or working part-time. Well, you're in a different situation, you know. And there's people that are making plenty. But, you know, if you are working a full-time job and making anywhere near the normal household income, you will have plenty for the feast and the other holy days. But I emphasize that it's for the holy days. The Feast of Tabernacles is the biggest one of these as far as expenses. But it's this second tithe is not just for the Feast of Tabernacles. We go off sometimes for Pentecost, spend the night. You take the money from this second tithe and use it for that, for whatever it costs, for your transportation there, for the whole room, hotel room, different things like that. You know, sometimes we incur those things on Passover, the days of unleavened bread. If you incur additional costs outside of your normal traveling to church and things like that for any of the holy days, that's where the second tithe comes in. That's where you get the money for those. And if you're able to put that 10% away, you have no problem with these. Now, what if you're not able to do that? I'll get to that in a little bit. I have a good example there that I heard once upon a time. For lodging expenses, eating when you're at the Feast of Tabernacles, things like that, that can add up. Travel, the offerings. We got one we're familiar with, Deuteronomy 16:16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I'm going to back up because I missed another set of scriptures. We'll read this one, then I'll back up. We got Deuteronomy 16:16. It says, 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord the God in the place which ye shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. If you have your second tithe, you don't have to appear before the Lord empty. But now I want to back up to a little bit to a few scriptures that I actually missed. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 26. If later, I'd say it wouldn't be bad to just read the whole chapter of Deuteronomy because it actually has all three tithes in there, Deuteronomy 14. We're going to start in 22 through 26. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of their seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, and tithe of corn, and the wine, and the oil, and the firstlings, etc., all these different things. And if the way be too long for thee, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set your name in there, when the Lord thy God has blessed thee, then you shall turn it into money, and bind it up, and bring it in money, which we do anyway. In our society, that's how we have pretty much everything, is in money. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatever the soul lusts after. for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, for whatsoever they so desire. And they shall eat thereof before the Lord thy God, and they shall rejoice, thou and thine household. Now in this, you notice it's talking about we're to save this money, but there's nothing in here about giving it to the church. Now if we back up a little bit, it actually talked about the first tithe leading up to this, and then this one's the second tithe, and we'll get to the third tithe in just a little bit. But this is where we're putting it up for ourselves. We're putting it up for the festival days. And the one of the last things I had in here, which I'm not going to reread it now since I just did, but was the last verse we had, which is 14:16. You're to put it, you can use it for whatever your heart desires. Now, it's kind of said in there, you know, within reason, if it's something your heart desires that is not godly, well, that's a different story, you know. And if it's something your heart desires but you can't afford it, it's you can't buy it, you know. But one of the examples I had, like, okay, it's not too hard. I'm going to use round numbers, some, but it's not too hard to say that if you are a normal household income, that you could easily, even tithing on your net, have $3,000 set aside out of that, easily. Say your feast expenses were $2,000. They could be more. You could have more, but just say they were $2,000. You have $1,000 left over. Personally, I take part of that as my feast offering, but you could, you know, easily have $500,000 left over at the end of the year. You want to save some of that for the other holy days through the year, but whatever's left, if you want something, get it. That's what they're talking about here. They're talking about taking that. And I know his wife's shaking her head. Yep. Mm-hmm. I knew that was going to happen. Yep. And I'll admit, I'm not actually doing this right. But yeah, that's, to me, that's your way. If your heart desires it, get it. Now, one other thing it doesn't say in here, doesn't mention, is you don't have to spend all this. In the research I've done, and it kind of goes without saying, if you have $1,000 left over at the end of it, you've done everything, you've had your wonderful feast, you've made a decent offering at the feast, and you have $1,000 left over in this fund, you can spend that, or you can stick it away. You know, if you stick that away for a few years and you got $1,000 a year, several years down the road, you can really afford something nice. So, you know, maybe it's a long-term goal of something your heart desires. I've got a few desires that Jenny knows. I don't know, this may come there, may not, but, you know, you can save this up and you may have a pretty good little chunk of change that you could get what your heart's desiring. The third tithe, it either picks up from where we just left off, or I kind of liked Deuteronomy 26 better. You could have just read the next couple of scriptures from where we were, or go over to Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 15. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 12 through 15. When thou hast made an end of the tithing, all the tithes of thy increase, the third year, get to that in a little bit, which is the year of tithing, and has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, has given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within the gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord the God, I have brought my house, and also have given unto them, unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless and the widow, according to all the commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught therefore of any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from the holy habitation of heaven, and bless the people of Israel, and the land that has given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land, well, it really didn't have to go that far, but this is another tithe. And if we go back towards the beginning, tithing all the tithes of the increase in the third year, this is a tithe in the third year of 10%. Now, there's a couple questions on here. Is this a tithe every third year? Or is this a tithe on the third year of God's seven-year cycle? From what I understand, it is the third year of a seven-year cycle. And this is a tithe for the widows, the orphans, the poor, people like that. Those that don't have, they're trying to do for themselves. They can't do. That's what this is for. Now, you can do it on the every third year. You could do it the third of seven. Like I say, from my understanding, from what I have read up on this, it's the third of each seven-year cycle. That's kind of the reason they say the tithe year versus the third year. However, this, by consensus of all the research and stuff I've done, first tithe, required, still today. Second tithe, required, still today. This tithe is required, but not for us to set aside another 10% of our income, whether it's every third year or third out of 7 years. Very simply because the government has taken this over. With the welfare system and everything else, that they're already taken out of our paycheck. If you work, you're paying this. They're mandating that you pay it. You're actually paying more. If you tithe this every third of 7 years or once every 7 years, it's averaging out to about 1.5% a year. If you work and you pay taxes, you're paying more than 1.5% for the welfare system that's in place. So based on everything I understand in my research and reading, we don't have to make this tithe anymore. Doesn't mean we can't. If you can afford it, do it. There's nothing wrong with giving more as long as you can afford it. So that is the third tithe. Now, the fourth tithe. And you say, wait a minute, what's about this fourth tithe? You said there was only three tithes. Yes, I said there was three tithes. Fourth tithe is not a tithe. Fourth tithe is charitable giving. I just thought it'd be neat to kind of list it as a fourth tithe initially. This is not a biblical requirement, other charitable giving. It's a suggestion throughout the Bible, but it's not a biblical requirement. You know, for the poor and the widows and orphans and those who can't, there's where your requirement is. And I'm going to back up for that a minute. Based on what I understand, this is for the third tithe is for those that, for beyond their control or whatever situation, can't provide. If they're a drug addict, if they've gambled away their money, there's no requirement to take care of those people. If the economy's hit them or whatever, you know, the case may be. You know, sometimes a widow, when the husband passes away, he was the breadwinner. He brought the money in. It just disappears and dries up. That's where the third tithe is for. If you've just blown it, if you're snorting up your nose or shooting in your arm, there's no requirement that people that have take care of you. You've done it to yourself. Okay. Now back to the fourth one, or charitable giving. He said, this is not a biblical requirement. It is a suggestion as long as you can afford it. Charitable giving to other organizations or causes outside of the tithe is good. It is not required, But I would suggest to some degree, anybody that can afford it, do it. And per what I understand, I believe that most here will agree with this. For whatever we can give, as long as we're giving willingly, God will bless us. Now, if we're giving so that God will bless us, that's an entirely different situation. I personally believe if we're giving so that we will get back from God, we ain't going to get anything back from it. We have to be doing it with the willing heart. That goes back to the, this is kind of a test commandment with your money type of deal. We don't give so God will bless us. It does not work that way. A couple other kind of points I had in here is, while tithing is commanded and is needed by the church for all these things, the financial needs of the church I list, in this respect, tithing is also the test commandment, which I covered on that. Tithing is something we are to do willingly. God will bless us, but only if we first do it willingly, not if we do it to get something back out of it. There are some scriptures in here on receiving back, and there we'll talk about, you know, God blessing you, but I wasn't listening to any of those. We can search for them and find them, but that wasn't really what this was about. Now, what if I can't tithe? And this happens. There are times when people that 10% would take away of money they need for food and things like that. It's not, I don't know that it's necessarily really common, but it is. I was in that situation at one time. I've been there. You know, it kind of goes back to when I first came in the church. I didn't understand that we actually had to tithe. It's like, we don't, from what I heard and the way I interpreted, we don't have to tithe. We have to give an offering. We don't have to tithe. So I never really set anything aside. Well, that got me in the situation that once I realized we did have to tithe, I kind of had bills that were taking this money. And I had food to put on the table that I needed to put on the table. The way I'll explain this is the way I heard from some minister called Frederick K. Price. Some of you may have heard of him. He's kind of retired since. But I used to listen to him occasionally. And what he said is one time that when he started out, when he first came to the realization of the tithing and all that, he couldn't. He was tithing. He said he was tithing about 5%. When I started, it was less than that. What he said, what you do is you take all your requirements, you know, your food for your family, you owe on your house or whatever. I mean, now, if you have a great big house, well, you might get downsized. Okay, but short of that, you know, or if you have an expensive car, you might could downsize your car. But, you know, I mean, if you have a reasonable car that's just getting by, you don't necessarily change it in on an old beat up one that's not reliable. You know, you have your life so that you're sustaining, you're providing for your family. You don't go out, you tithe what you can wherever you're at. If you started at zero, and as your income goes up or as bills get paid off, you then start adding to your tithe. You don't go, but you get a raise, you don't go get a bigger car, a nicer car, a bigger house. You're not tithing. You take that, anything's left over, because, you know, inflation goes up too, so part of your raise may need to go for the increased cost of food. But as your salary goes up, you start putting all that extra towards your tithe. And before you know it, you're tithing 2%, 4%, 6%, and working the way up. This is what I did, and it works. I mean, as long as your income continues to go up, it works good, or as you just get things paid off. You don't go buy anything else that is not a necessity until you start getting your full tithe. Now, what he said he did, and I kind of liked also, in addition to doing that, and he said, well, you know, I hadn't been tithing for basically his life before that. So, and this was a question that somebody had asked him, said, well, what about all that? He said, well, In his mind, there was really no requirement to go pay that back. Might be a nice thing to do. There was no requirement. What he did is said, look, once I got to 10%, I kept it going until he kept it going until he got up to about 13%. And as your years go on, you're making more. So that extra 1, 2, 3% that you're tithing there will more than make up for anything you didn't do in previous years. That's what I'm working for now, personally. I'm not trying to say that to doing better or anything, but, you know, if you weren't tithing for a long time, work towards getting up there. If you finally get up there and you hadn't been for a long time, it's totally up to you personally. You might kick in a little bit extra, which will more than make up for any years past, years down the road. That was, he said, and I said, you know, that to me, that's simple, it makes sense, and it works. One last scripture, Malachi 3:8. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. One we're fairly familiar with. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein you have robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. If we're withholding tithes, and we can tithe. Now it doesn't say that there, but I'm adding it to it. My belief anyway, this is how it is. If we can tithe and we're not tithing, we're robbing God. In conclusion, there originally were three tithes. Tithes for the church, still in place today. Festival tithes, or tithing for the feast, still in place today. Tithing for widows and orphans, kind of still in place. This is we're taking care of in taxes. As an individual person, if you still want to do it, great. You know, more power to you. It's not a requirement as an additional tithe. And tithing is more than just paying 10% of your income or your increase to the church. Why tithing is commanded, and is needed for the church. God does not financially need any tithe. He doesn't need money to do things. In this respect, tithing is also a test commandment. Will we freely, willingly, and graciously give back or give up part of what we have been blessed with?